Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Every Monday, we connect with Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff Johnson, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Hey, good to hear you. We're having a little bit of trouble with the cell phone. If it persists, we may have to reschedule or just, you know, wait till next week or something. But we have some good news. Your program, the SAFE program, is being adopted on a much wider platform, right?
Yeah, the entire United States Air Force is going to it worldwide.
Wow.
So, and we're hoping that the DOD will pick it up and all the branches will get it. And then it'll be, you know, on every Army base, Marine base, it doesn't matter. And hopefully in the near future, I'm going to present it in front of the National Sheriff's Association to all the sheriffs in America, and hopefully we can get it across the country.
Wow, that is fantastic. For people who might not know, can you just maybe give them the 30-second, you know, hey, here's what this program does, because I know you've done a couple of different things in this arena.
Yeah, so most sheriff's departments have an autism program, and we thought here in Santa Rosa County, well, autism, you know, taking care of them, it's awesome, it's great, but what if you have a child with Down syndrome or your father has Alzheimer's and lives with you? So we invented the SAFE program, and basically it covers all special needs. It doesn't matter, blind, deaf, autistic, it does not matter. Any kind of special needs person can have a SAFE sticker on their door and on their car. And basically that lets us know when we approach the car or the house that there may be someone inside that's going to respond differently. And we have to be aware of that. And so far it's doing pretty good in Santa Rosa County. And about 35 other counties in Florida have adopted it so far. And hopefully we can get it spread throughout the country.
That's great. So the Air Force application, and as you say, hoping for DOD, would be for service member families that they would put it on their car and or their house. Is that right?
Correct. So even if they live off base, like in Santa Rosa County, they do it here, but at base housing, they can do it there now. And also the security forces on the base understand the SAFE program and understand what the sticker means and how to respond. So we're pretty proud that it's going worldwide, and hopefully we can get it across the country.
That's
That'd be
great.
Great.
Now, just a weird question comes to mind, and I don't know the answer to this. You say Air Force picked it up. You know, obviously Herbert and Eglin are pretty close, but Navy hasn't. I mean, it seems like, you know, they're the ones like in Santa Rosa County, you know?
Well, we have a huge population in Santa Rosa County from Herbert Field.
Sure.
And also what a lot of people don't know is Herbert Field is AFSOC's special needs base. So basically what happens is if you're an AFSOC and you have a special needs child, they send you to Hurlburt. They'll station you here because of all the different programs around Hurlburt Field that deal with special needs children.
Yeah, I did not know that. Thank you for telling me that. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Of course, whenever we're talking with you, I always like to ask, and congratulations. I think that's great work that y'all are doing. Seems like we really export a lot of cool things out of these two counties. I mean, really, like, pioneering stuff you and Sheriff Simmons are putting together. It's really, really neat to be part of it, or at least be able to report on it. Anything happen over the weekend, any major events or anything that we need to know about in the last week?
Nope, it was nice and quiet, and I think I'm probably jinxing myself for this upcoming week and weekend, but it was quiet.
Can you imagine if you actually had that power? That's funny.
I
know every cop's the same way. Don't you dare! That's so funny.
Yeah.
I asked you last week, and you said you'd follow up on the issue of fentanyl that is resistant to Narcan. We talked with Sheriff Simmons about this, and he had made the comment that it does exist. The DEA says that it's in about 20% of the fentanyl nationwide. It's a non-opiate that is in there, and so the Narcan doesn't respond, doesn't treat non-opiates. He doesn't know of any cases in Escambia, but he said that they have to reasonably believe that it's here, if only because at 20%, it's likely to have been sort of everywhere. I know you were going to follow up, and you were at a conference last week, and I kind of sprung the question on you. What have you found out in the intervening week?
Well, I spoke to some other sheriffs at the conference, and the Volusia County Sheriff, he used to be the chief of police for Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he went back up there to visit some friends, and he said it's rampant up there, and he said it is a zombie-like effect. People are walking around and you know, with their heads down and just staggering all over the streets up there. So obviously, it's definitely made an impact in the larger cities. Fortunately, we have not seen any cases of it here, but, you know, 20% now means probably in another 6 months it'll be in 70-80% of the fentanyl.
I mean, I remember it wasn't that long ago when nobody knew what fentanyl was, you know, and
yeah.
you had,
oh, yeah.
and, you know, I mean, it's only been a couple of years that we've been dealing with that. And so, man, that's just awful.
Yeah.
Hey, last thing I just wanted to ask you real quick is, I know you're familiar with this case of Carly Russell. It's an Alabama case of this woman who claimed to have seen a toddler on the side of the road, claimed that it was like she got kidnapped, claimed a bunch of different things. She's now retracted and she's been arrested. The state attorney there in, or the attorney general in Alabama, and also the Hoover Police Department chief, they say they've got her arrested on two misdemeanor charges. Pretty light sentence for the amount of inconvenience, cost, man hours, and everything else that go into these big searches when there's a claim of a violent offender, a threat to somebody's life, or a kid. I don't know what it is in Florida, but I got to imagine it's similarly not very high, or not as high as maybe it should be. Your thoughts?
Yeah, demeanor here as well. And I'll tell you, I don't know what's wrong with that woman. I don't know if her TV was broke or she just didn't have any entertainment, but just to sit there and make up something. And the bad part is you're using resources that could be deployed elsewhere. And so a 911 call might not get responded to as fast because this idiot is calling in a fake complaint. So, yeah, it should be. I would love to escalate it and have it as a felony here in Florida.
Yeah, and the Hoover police chief was looking for was a typical misdemeanor, but to escalate it any time there's a violent or a kidnapping or something that involves a lot of man hours. Sheriff, hang on for a second. I got a text in here I want to ask you about that it would be a good, helpful thing, but let me get traffic first with Gracie.
Well, our roads are looking a little bit better this morning, but we do still have some major delays on 98 eastbound. That is going to be Windhaven Beach. We had an accident right near Blue Moon Bar. It's starting to clear up, but still, if you're going through Navarre after the Navarre Beach Causeway, you're going to be seeing some traffic. If you see anything else on the roads, give me a call to the traffic line, 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Just a quick question for you, Sheriff. Somebody had wanted to know, what are the rules for door-to-door sales in the county? Is that something that you have anything to do with? Are there restrictions? Do you happen to know? They texted me, and I don't know the answer, so I'd ask you.
Yeah. Basically, what happens if you want to go door-to-door in Santa Rosa County, you have to get with the main office there at the BOCC, and you have to get a permit. And not too many people that go door-to-door actually get permits. So basically, if somebody comes to your door and knocks on it and says, hey, I want to talk to you about a timeshare, whatever, ask to see their permit. And if they say, I don't have one, say, well, you need to get one, and just close the door and call us, and we'll come out. And basically what we do is we'll put them down on notice of, hey, this is your warning. You don't do it again until you get a permit. And then if they keep doing it after that, we can actually arrest them on a misdemeanor violation of the county ordinance. Thing,
okay.
So.
All right. Well, that's where, you know, I used to sell books door to door a long, long, long time ago, not here, but in Wyoming of all places. And it was like that there. And you had to have a photo on your ID even back then. And, you know, so it was very easy to show to people, hey, I've got my, you know, my permit. But if people don't have it, which I imagine a lot of them don't have it, that's something they can call you about.
Yes, sir. We get calls on it pretty regular as well. So, and these guys that go door to door, they don't care that you have a no solicitation sign at the front of your subdivision. But they don't care. They're still coming in there, and that's why they need to call us.
Does that have any legal standing, the no solicitation sign? I know the no trespassing at least gives some kind of legal notice, but does no solicitation actually carry any legal weight?
Yeah, No, not really. I mean, it basically, some of these guys will honor it and go, okay, I'm not going in there, but most of them don't care and they'll go in. Then it applies the one I was just telling you about, the county ordinance.
Yeah.
After we warn them, we can do something. So.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for answering. I appreciate that. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson joins us every Monday at this time. Sheriff, as always, thank you for doing what you do to keep us safe. I love the Q word. I'll take it every week forever if we can make it happen. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
All right. Take care, Andrew.
You bet. 819 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're having trouble with pests, you know, you got roaches or ants or fleas or I hear there's these things called ants this time of year. Oh, my God, they're everywhere. Mosquitoes, whatever it is, insect, they can take care of that. They've got professionally trained technicians. They will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside. and take preventative steps to prevent other pests from coming in. They're professional. They'll show up on time. They'll give you an estimate. Estimates are free, okay? They'll take pictures before. They'll do the treatment. They'll tell you what they did. They'll take pictures afterwards, send you a comprehensive email report that has all of that information in it. If it's fire ants, it takes just one treatment. Their treatment bonds with the soil and guarantees you a full year of fire ant protection. $25 off new annual fire ant contracts right now. Mosquitoes, they've got a specific program for those that identifies the type of mosquito and tailors it just for your particular problem. Right now, annual pest control customers get $50 off. There are some restrictions, so please read the contract, obviously. Again, estimates are completely free, and they're hiring. If you are in, you know, you're in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, Panama City, good pay, good benefits, lawn technicians and full-time pest control technicians, apply at workwithensec. That's ENSEC.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Dan Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in this Friday morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pregnancy can be an exciting time, but for many moms, it can mean feeling anxious, depressed, confused, or overwhelmed. Either during pregnancy or after having your baby, you may not quite feel like yourself. If you're experiencing these feelings, you are not alone, and mental health issues can be treated. Talk with your OB or connect with a mental health provider in your area by visiting flbhimpact.org. This message is supported by the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
And now it's time for Silly Songs with Laddie, the part of the show where Laddie comes out and sings a silly song.
Gracie's sitting in for Candy this morning. Gracie, were you raised on VeggieTales? Oh, poor little tomato. He cannot dance. God, it's been so long since I watched those. I mean, you know, even before we had kids, we thought they were funny. And then, of course, our kids watched them and all that. So 823 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, that heat wave isn't going to be going away anytime soon. The record-setting temperatures still moving across the South, and heat indexes could go above triple digits all week, all across Texas, Louisiana, and of course here in Florida. In the Southwest, apparently Phoenix has now topped 110 degrees for a solid month.
Whew. Don't remind me. I never saw anything in my rearview mirror that made me so happy as Phoenix. Well, I remember leaving Cheyenne right after selling books there for a summer one time. I was happy to leave Cheyenne. I was never as happy as I was leaving Phoenix for that. Our church there was wonderful. Our friends, the job, everything. But that place, oh my God. Anyway, well, go ahead.
You know, I get it. Some places are best seen from the rearview mirror. The U.S. House and Senate have now each approved their version of a must-pass defense spending bill. The Senate one does not include an amendment passed by Congress that would ban troops from getting reimbursed for travel costs related to abortions.
The Defense Department does not have the authority, so that will be certainly one of the items up for discussion, I assume.
Senator John Cornyn there from Texas said he'd like to see the amendment on abortion access be part of the final bill that would have to be approved by both houses. There will be a debate over funding going towards sex change operations for military members as well.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. News story that's been a couple of months in the making that is now out in the open. The medical examiner, Deanna Oleski, the District 1 medical examiner, has filed a lawsuit. Her lawyers have filed a lawsuit for defamation against two of the four funeral directors who were in that meeting with Commissioner Barry that was at his family's restaurant, Smokey's, a couple of months back. And then that led to the letters being written by three of the four. One declined to write one. Then the three of the four wrote him, and then one of them came on this show. You know, all the salacious allegations about how she was doing all these terrible, her office was doing all these terrible things to the bodies. And then, you know, he came on this program with her and said, oh man, I never intended it for it to be out in the public use like this. No, this was not what I intended. So the two who did not retract, although they sort of partially hedged on what they intended, she's now filed defamation charges against them. Not included in the lawsuit, interestingly, not included is Stephen Barry, Commissioner Barry, even though my read of the situation is that he orchestrated this whole thing for political purposes because he was angry at her for having embarrassed him in front of the whole community by saying, why are you guys delaying on the medical examiner's office? What's the problem? And he doesn't take embarrassment well. You know, his way of retaliating was that, plus this weird fixation on preventing it from going to Santa Rosa County. Maybe he thought that political pressure somehow or other, this would embarrass her. And I mean, what, maybe make her quit? You know what? But once you've completely maligned somebody's professional capabilities, it's not like she can go somewhere else and work because they've seen the news. They'd do a quick Google search and they'd find all of these salacious allegations, of course. So she's, again, she has not sued him nor Commissioner Bergosh, who I think in his part in all of this went out of his way to protect himself against legal liability because he surely knew this was potentially defamatory stuff. So, you know, whether he gets drawn into a subsequent lawsuit, I can't say, or Stephen Barry, I can't say. But at this moment, it's the two funeral directors. And I've read the lawsuit. We'll come back to that in a second. Right now, Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
98 eastbound still seeing some delays, but looking way better. It's going to be slowing down right after the Navarro Beach Causeway. It'll clear up before you get to the scene of the accident. Clears up right about Whispering Pines Boulevard. See something else on the roads? Give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. So lawsuit was filed. This lawsuit by the medical examiner for libel was filed in Gadsden County, which is not local, which means that it's kind of going to escape all of the local potential influence, right? But also Gadsden County is where she's had her professional reputation harmed. The main thing that has been harmed is, you know, not just reputational, but that's true, but also that she doesn't get hired to do legal consulting and testimony in cases as a professional witness, which is a major source of income for her. So the lawsuit doesn't specify an amount. It says at least $50,000. Swinging wild guess, I would guess hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe more than a million, is where this lawsuit is going to go eventually. When you talk about reputational harm, loss of income, legal fees, you put all of that bundled together, future loss of revenue, potential inability to get hired at another place. I mean, you bundle all of that together, right? And so the lawsuit just basically says they kind of, it's kind of entertaining to read a little bit of the lawsuit here. Let me I'll read some of it because it's kind of funny in the sort of the early phases of it. There's I want to get to the exact part. It says it's the beginning of it is kind of boring. On or about June 2021, Plans Republic announced to move the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office to a more centralized location, specific a brand new facility be constructed off Avalon Boulevard in Milton, Florida. Although this move to a more centralized location would obviously benefit the majority of District 1, defendants unashamedly did not care what would be in the best interest of the majority of District 1 because they believed that it would evidently be, more importantly, the defendants be bad for their business and bottom line to further be further away from District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. At the time the plans for moving the office were announced to be moving forward, Dr. Oleski was the acting chief medical examiner. Defendants were not going to take this move sitting down, so they got together and concocted a plan to try to stop the medical examiner's office from moving farther away from their business and potentially impacting their financial interests. Specifically, the genius plan, I'm reading from it, the genius plan that the defendant settled on was to obliterate the otherwise sterling reputation, integrity, qualifications, and performance of Dr. Oleski as the medical examiner by contriving serious allegations of misconduct against Dr. Oleski and ideally causing a bombshell news story to be run about it. The plan concocted by defendants was designed to benefit themselves and their respective businesses, that is, the financial success of their businesses. So, you know, and it goes on to kind of lay out the history, the TikTok, so to speak, of how we got here. The defendants held and attended a meeting at Smokey's Barbecue in Pensacola with other parties interested in stopping the move of the medical examiner's office out of Pensacola, including other Pensacola-based funeral home directors such as Rick Bailey. He's the one who came on our show and changed his story. And I credit him for that. And David Watkins of Joe Morrison's Sons, who did not write a letter. And it goes on. But you get the tone of this, okay? I think motive is probably going to be the hardest part for them to make a claim on, you know, the business value. But it doesn't really matter. If you say something that is defamatory because it is untrue, knowingly untrue, and causes somebody harm, that's all you have to prove. Motive is a separate matter. And if you ask me, if I'm sitting on this jury, you know how I'm voting. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A property manager at former President Trump's estate in Florida, now a co-defendant in a federal criminal case, appears in court today.
A superseding indictment alleges Carlos de Oliveira attempted to delete surveillance recordings and lied to investigators about moving the now infamous boxes containing classified documents at a storage room on the property.
Fox's Evan Brown. Sentencing is today for an Idaho woman who killed her two youngest children.
Lori Vallow Daybell, the so-called doomsday mom, faces up to life in prison when she is sentenced for the deaths of her son, J.J. Vallow, and her daughter, Tylee Ryan, as well as conspiring to murder her husband, Chad Daybell's former wife, Tammy Daybell.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Chad Daybell's charged with all three murders. Hundreds of people are attending funerals for victims of yesterday's suicide bombing in Pakistan. At least 54 people were killed in an election rally for a pro-Taliban cleric. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31. News Radio 92.3.79, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Pensacola police investigating another case of anti-Semitic graffiti. This one near the new Blake Doyle skate park. It's the fifth case of anti-Semitic graffiti that's been found here in our area in recent months. The graffiti was found scribbled on street signs, and it's not far from the synagogue that was previously targeted. In earlier cases, bricks were written on and thrown into a Jewish community center and through a synagogue window.
This is my town. This is where I live. And to have such things, whether it's at a park, whether it's at a local business or wherever it might be, is very concerning. And it's very unnerving.
That is Rabbi Mendel Danau. And he says, despite that, they're here to stay, not going anywhere. The Pensacola Shabbat Jewish Center recently held a community event with the goal of driving out the darkness with light. And Danau says that there were many new faces in the crowd that night to offer their support for the Jewish community. PPD still investigating whether the five incidents are all connected. They say they won't know for sure, though, until an arrest is made. Three people were shot at the Northwoods Apartments on the 4000 block of East Olive Road Saturday. PPD says those three victims were all being treated for their injuries. We don't have an update on their conditions this morning.
We need to start having conversation with our young people. And talking to them about the consequences of their actions regarding this kind of situations and this kind of violence. We just have to inform the community and have the community actually reach out and be a part of the solution.
PPD's Greg Gordon talked with Channel 3. Right now, there is no word on a suspect. District 1 medical examiner Dr. Deanna Oleski has filed a libel lawsuit against two funeral directors that wrote letters to Escambia County. Those were ultimately published online by Commissioner Jeff Burgosh. The lawsuit accuses Gerald Mitchell from the Pensacola Memorial Gardens and Richard Trahan from Trahan Family Funeral Homes of libel and defamation, tortious interference, civil conspiracy. This comes after the funeral directors wrote letters accusing the medical examiner's office of butchering bodies during autopsies, delays in filing paperwork, and reporting inaccurate causes of death. Oleski claims both funeral directors were motivated by political and financial reasons, attempting to stop the medical examiner's office from relocating to Santa Rosa County. Both defendants deny the allegations and have both filed motions to dismiss that lawsuit. Governor Ron DeSantis accusing the state of Illinois of diminishing what it means to be a citizen. The governor tweeting out yesterday about a bill that was signed last week by Illinois' governor that allows non-citizens to apply for jobs as police officers. DeSantis says allowing illegal aliens to become police officers shows citizenship is meaningless to the left. He says, in Florida, we value our citizen officers who serve and protect our communities. He also tweeted that no illegal alien should have authority over an American citizen. A man was hurt after being bitten by a shark recently in Manatee County. The West Manatee Fire District says the man was bitten yesterday in his lower leg. It happened near Anna Maria Island, and the man was taken to the hospital. Right now, no word on his condition. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Gracie, what are you seeing?
Roads are looking pretty good right now. We are still seeing some slowdowns throughout Navarre and Windhaven Beach, but it's not as bad as it was. After you pass Navarre Beach Causeway, you're going to be seeing some slowdowns until you get to about Whispering Pines Boulevard. That is due to an accident that happened earlier this morning. Scene of the accident has cleared up. If you see anything else on the roads, always feel free to call into the traffic line with details. 850-262-6111 is the number to call. Also, this report is sponsored by FDOT. Find the traffic info this hurricane season at FL511.com. It's hurricane season. Are you prepared? Keep FL511.com in your emergency toolkit to see helpful traffic info before and after the storm. That's a message from FDOT. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
We're going to be seeing some heat today with temperatures warming up near 96 degrees, feeling into the triple digits, 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. Dangerous heat will continue for Tuesday with a high near 99, feeling much warmer with a 10% chance of rain. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's 83 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, and 80 in Milton. All right, your money now this morning. The market opening up. The Dow is up 35.48 at 35.494.77. S&P 500 is up 644 at 45.88.10. The NASDAQ up 24.19 this morning at 14.340.85. Our 10-year bond rate down at 3.96%. Our gold prices today up $3 at $2,290. Silver prices at $24.64 today. And for you crypto investors, Bitcoin up $119.55 at $29,405.53. Thousands of people across the country starting the week out unemployed today after the abrupt closure of Yellow Freight. Executives at the 100-year-old trucking firm informed managers they'd be shutting down over the weekend. The company employed roughly 33,000 people across the nation. A top official at the Federal Reserve says the economy is making good progress, but says he's not ready to declare victory over inflation yet. Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kashkari says he agrees with recent comments by economists that there's no recession on the horizon, but again, he's not ready to declare victory over inflation. There have been 11 rate hikes in the last 12 months. Kashkari says he doesn't know how many more there might be. Facebook, Instagram, and now Threads parent Meta says they're planning to boost retention on their new text-based social media platform. Threads enjoyed more than 100 million signups in their first few days of existence, but apparently half of those accounts are now inactive. CEO Mark Zuckerberg says they're planning to institute hooks to keep Threads users engaged for longer periods of time. It is 8:38. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. For almost a decade, I've been telling you about my friends at Frontier Motors in Pensacola. The biggest reason is they help my listeners save thousands of dollars when purchasing a slightly used car over a brand new one. Consumer Reports says the average new car depreciates a whopping $9,200 in the first year alone. That's crazy. So if you're thinking new, don't. Go see Frontier Motors and see how much they can save you on a current year car with very low miles. And if your goal is to get out of debt, bring Frontier Motors your car and they can write you a check on the spot. Frontier Motors can also do consignments and they don't charge a fee or a commission. Frontier Motors have been helping the people in the Pensacola area for 21 years. They are the go-to dealer for free advice when it comes to buying or selling a car. Please go see my friends at Frontier Motors. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Advertising? Marketing? Digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So I saw kind of an interesting survey. I guess it's a survey, really. Study is when you design an experiment. A survey is when you sample people's opinions. Anyway, the survey wanted to look at different age cohorts, Gen Z, millennial, younger and older millennial, to figure out what kind of stuff they prefer to engage with on a screen or digitally. And the results of the survey showed that basically older millennials like TV the most, like regular old broadcast or cable or whatever. And, you know, behind that, they, you know, that's what they like the most. But other forms of entertainment like gaming, music, podcasts, or user generated content, that would be like TikTok videos, YouTube videos, Facebook videos, things that people make not through some bureaucracy or some process. That they don't really follow that. Younger millennials kind of will watch everything relatively equally. And then Gen Z, they put user-generated content top. That's what they prefer the most. And then podcasts and then gaming and TV, traditional TV or, you know, cable or, you know, whatever. They have way down the list. I'm also interested in how streaming would relate to that because, of course, I would categorize streaming as TV just through a different mechanism. Okay, because it's not music, it's not interactive like gaming, and it's certainly not user-generated content. You know, when Netflix is making your TV, it's still TV. It's just coming through a different way. So that's my question for the day. What's your primary, like what's your main thing that you watch, engage in, okay? And I see this in my own household. We can talk about that in a second. But 437-1620, are you games, music slash podcasts, user-generated content, or TV, traditional TV, or, you know, which can, of course, include a lot of things. Even if it's streaming, it's still TV.
I think I'm definitely music and podcasts.
Okay, that's your first one?
Yeah, for sure. Probably TikTok is close to that. User generated is probably close to that, but music and podcasts is the first thing I'll go to.
So when you're on your phone on TikTok, you're just taking whatever. Are you searching for things? Do you have places you go, or do you just kind of take the feed that it's presented to you based on your prior engagements?
Based on prior engagement, I do follow people. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes if they post something, I'll go on their page and I'll look, okay, what else did they post? And I missed it and I didn't follow it. So mostly that, never really looking things up unless, you know, a recipe or something that usually I've already seen on TikTok.
I gotcha.
From it already coming through.
And is it videos is primarily the format that you like there?
Yeah, for sure.
And why? This is just kind of a curious thing because like my kids, it's gaming and YouTube.
Yeah.
And they never watch TV, almost ever. Yeah. But they like, you know, gaming is a completely different, it's where you're obviously interactive with the storyline, mm-hmm. and they like that a lot. That's my one son. He's like, I don't know why you watch TV. You can't decide what happens. I'm like, right, but the plot quality, the plot quality is dramatically different than, you know, you doing a thing. So, they watch on their phone all the time, YouTube videos, YouTube videos, YouTube videos.
Yeah, I think it's
more
of like a quick thing. Like if I'm watching a TV show, it's because I'm like, okay, let me sit down and watch a TV show. I could like watch a couple TikToks in like a commercial break or something.
I see, yeah, okay.
And still have that, information.
I got the other problem, which is I hate watching videos.
Yeah.
Because they're so time consuming. I would rather read my news. Like whenever I'm searching for something and it comes up with a, you know, a 23-minute YouTube video or somebody sends me a, hey, you got to watch this video. I'm like, that's not going to happen. No, because it just takes too long. I would rather read it because I can read it pretty quickly, get the information. I'm much more of a text oriented. And so, the video thing, it's just completely baffling to me that people live their life on the videos on their phone. 437-1620. Somebody here says, well, if I'm fixing something, I'm obviously on YouTube. No, that's true. Yeah. it's a great reference. Mm-hmm. And I mean, YouTube is a great, but even there, like, I'm not going on YouTube to watch people talking about stuff. I'm going on YouTube to watch like a governmental meeting. Or maybe a press conference or something like that, or maybe a sports something or other, or I'm trying to find it, but I'm never just, I have never in my life watched a YouTube feed, you know, YouTube.
You followed someone.
Yeah, I know I follow some things, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I followed something on YouTube. It's of no value because I'm never on there. In fact, this is how ignorant. Is there even a home page for YouTube where it can just like tell you what you want to watch? I assume yes.
Yeah.
And I have no idea. I don't even use it that way at all. 437-1620. Somebody here says TV is a primary because they like, hopefully, honest reporting. Somebody here says they prefer reading articles than watching videos. I'm Gen X. Yes. And I know this is age thing for me. You know, I was raised on reading. So reading is primo. I was raised on TV. So TV and the newer mechanisms, I don't know. They're an ill fit for me psychologically. But you, definitely not TV.
Yeah, I don't.
Podcast and music first, then short video, user-generated
then TV,
content.
Then gaming. I am like, cannot game.
So does it matter? This is where I'm curious about. Does it matter to you, like, do you care whether the person is like a reliable source or do you just like them because they're interesting or you kind of assume they're reliable because you've already prejudged that?
I kind of would just assume they're reliable and then, you know, I could see other people if they kind of agree with that or say the same thing.
Okay.
Or is that super different? But kind of like if I'm following them, I feel like they're like, not like me, but like I could see into their life and stuff like into what they do.
Okay, so that
and
slice of it. Okay.
And it's like a little bit like, okay, like this is kind of like my friend. I would trust them.
I gotcha. All right.
Maybe
yeah.
Maybe not on everything.
Can't relate to that at all. I see what you're saying. I get what you're expressing, but I just, because I would like the whole influencer concept.
Yeah.
I'm allergic to influencers. Like that concept just makes me want to pull my hair out. It's like it seems so crazy to me, but it's interesting that you express it that way. It's 8:47 on News Radio 92.3. Traffic now with Gracie, who's sitting in for Candy this morning.
Well, 98 is now running smoothly in both the east and westbound direction throughout Windhaven Beach and Navarre. Also, I-10 and I-110 not showing any major delays. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives on News Radio 92.3.
But I fully recognize that, you know, what my boys would say would be, okay, boomer. I mean, like, that's, you know, that's just an older person's. The premise of the article I was reading was that what you kind of grow up using is what becomes your default platform, your mechanism for delivery of information. And it's just changed. I mean, it has clearly dramatically changed. And as the people who are, say, under 30 get to be 40, I mean, that's a serious thing that people who make TV for a living, for example, or even movies are going to have to really think about. How do we adapt to this if we can even survive in that environment? Hey, if you have not been to Pensacola Hardware, just go. Dude, go. I mean, seriously, just go. It's been there since 1851. Like, it's been around a long, but before the Civil War, before there was Levi's, like that kind of old, the oldest business in Florida, one of the 50 oldest in the entire country. That's amazing. 32 of 45 presidents have had their presidency during the time that Pensacola Hardware has been selling, you know, stuff to build houses and buildings with. So just go. And by the way, it's not just that it's been there a long time, but they have all kinds of weird, wild, cool stuff that you won't see anywhere else. And a whole houseware section in the front that is, if you're looking for a gift for somebody else and maybe for yourself, go there. Just they have all kinds of amazing things. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Oh my God, I love your bracelet. Where did you get it?
Oh, my mom made it for me.
It's adorable.
Oh, it's so fetch.
What is fetch?
Oh, it's like slang from England.
Feeling my way through the darkness. It's like against the rules of feminism or something. 850 on News Radio 92.3. You're a Mean Girls fan, Gracie? Yeah.
I grew up on Mean Girls.
We were talking in the break, and you said something that, and I will tell you in advance, I had like Shudder's reaction to. But
yeah,
I want you to say,
he was disgusted.
It's such an interesting follow up to what we were just talking about where people get information. Tell me what you were saying about a news, like if you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if something happens, I feel like someone my age, like because I work here, I feel like I'm a little bit different. I'm going to turn on the TV. No one my age is going to turn on the TV to like get a news story if something big is happening. They're going to like search into TikTok, the news story, and then get clips of the important segments of what was on the news through TikTok.
Oh.
You know? But yeah, instead of like reading, like, okay, let me go to, you know, Fox News or CNN.com and look and read the article.
It's
you're just going to get the 6 seconds of what they said.
As you said, you work here. I know you're a little bit different than your, but it just, it makes me like, you know, it's. So,
I tell my friends to listen to us. Let me just say that.
I mean, just call the psychic, you know, it's kind of like that's how it makes me feel. Like you might as well just, you know, throw some chicken bones down to get your facts. Like it's so bizarre to me, like that you would, not you, but that would be common. So common that, what's that?
A little lazy.
No, not lazy, but that would be the answer is, I believe that I can go on TikTok, search something up, and then I'm going to get my reliable information as opposed to turning on the television or opening up. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Nobody's opening up a newspaper, but they might go to the newspaper's website at least. You know, that if I need to know something, my very first thing is I go online to search, and I am only going to reputable news sources. Or, you know, like the source, like a study source or something like that. In fact, I'd rather read that than read the news source because the news source is derivative of the original scientific whatever it is. So thank you for sharing and scaring. 852 on News Radio 9.
On a Monday.
Oh, my God. Everybody gets to vote. 437-1620, 437-1620. Today is your last day to get the incandescent bulbs. If you can find them, good luck. Tomorrow, illegal. But the cops, if they catch you with them, it's okay to possess. You can possess personal consumption quantities of incandescent bulbs starting tomorrow, but you cannot sell. You cannot be a distributor. So if you have too much, they might nail you for intent to distribute. It's amazing to me that this has become a thing. It's illegal to sell and purchase incandescent bulbs. That's so wild. Oh, McDonald's has a new... I don't understand what this is. I will tell you in advance. I want to tell you the story, but I wish I knew more about it. McDonald's says that they're opening a new restaurant chain style spinoff. Again, the details here are pretty sketchy, as the news reports even said. We don't know a lot of the details, but they're creating a spinoff restaurant, and they're calling it Cosmics, C-O-S, and then M-C, like McDonald's. And it's going to be somehow or other alien-themed. It's going to have, they say, all the DNA of a McDonald's, but its own unique personality. A limited sites, limited geography sites beginning early next year. And this is all we know. Something in the vicinity of trying to get people who have lower income and are spending less on each order but are coming in more often. So, again, I don't know if this is meant to be a competitor with McDonald's or a McDonald's Lite or a completely different kind of thing. But there you go, and we'll keep you informed as we learn anything about it. Oh, several times in the interviews I did with the folks at the Groundbreaking for Leonardo on Friday, several times they made mention of the concerns about Hurlburt, and I raised this with them as well, because, you know, AFSOC, First Sow were thinking about moving out to Arizona. Well, that did not happen. As we learned from Rick Scott on Friday, that did not happen. They're going to stay. There's about 600 people that are going to move, but the bulk of the operation is going to stay right here in Hurlburt, which is a thank God. But it's a reminder. It's a reminder that a massive part of our economy, you know, NAS Whiting, massive part of Santa Rosa's economy. You know, NAS Pensacola, of course, and Corey Station, massive part of Escambia's economy. Eglin and Hurlburt, Okaloosa, same thing. And so these things are ultimately vulnerable to political decisions being made by people in Washington, D.C. And that means that just like we have to think about defending ourselves against, you know, an oil spill that can dramatically disrupt tourism, well, we could have dramatic disruptions in military if it were ever made a decision to significantly change the number of missions. And, you know, our legislators are always working on this, but it is something to keep in mind that we have to be prepared for that possibility. Just like, you know, Okaloosa woke up all of a sudden on, you know, last, what, Wednesday or Thursday, and like, the what you say? You know, we're going to lose a city of Air Force people? You know, 855 on, no, they didn't, but, you know, anyway, 855 News Radio 92.3. Candy is out today. Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
No slowdowns to report. I-10, I-110 not showing any major delays, as well as Highway 90 in Milton and Pace also running smoothly. If you do see something this Monday morning, always feel free to call into the traffic line, which is 850-2626-111 with your details. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. I got the funniest note in here. Somebody was, when I was talking about Pensacola Hardware, of course, I do ads for them. Somebody said, also, Pensacola Hardware has free parking. That's true. They definitely do. 437-1620. Oh, no. I'm in the, like, I'm catching up all the little stories that I didn't spend any time on through the rest of the show, but that's kind of where my mood is at right now. Headline, Department of Transportation, room for two. Feds want small planes bathrooms to be big enough for two people. Department of Transportation last Wednesday announced a rule that require airlines to make lavatories on new single-aisle planes large enough for two people to enter in a move to make bathrooms more accessible because people who are in wheelchairs, disabled, you know, the traditional single-occupant lavatory on a plane is very, very challenging for them. This is actually one of the things, I mean, I ran into this just because my grandma, when we were transporting her from Fort Myers to Phoenix when she got older and needed help, on a plane, I mean, it's just, you know, you kind of hope you don't have to. I mean, that's, you know, it's a very challenging thing. Of course, the description is a little bit question begging. You know, if your standard is defined by being big enough for two people, I hear they're calling it the mile high rule, but I'm not sure if that's been finalized yet. 857, I'm kind of, it's an obvious joke. I mean, come on. 857 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Another just kind of an odd story, one that maybe it's more common than I know, but I was reading about shore fishermen who are using drones to carry the lure attached to a line out a couple hundred yards away from shore so that they can shore fish for bigger game. And they're, you know, basically you attach the bait to the lure or whatever, and or the hook, and then you put that on the drone, and then you take the zzz, and you go out 300 yards and you drop it, and then you try to reel in something big, something probably big enough that you're not even going to be allowed to keep it, but, you know, you catch and release sport fishing. This is apparently a new thing. And, you know, some people are upset because it seems like a, you know, improper use of technology or whatever. You know, of course, those folks probably didn't like the depth finders and, you know, things that would identify the fish in the water to begin with. But it just, I don't know, I thought it was an interesting story, so I wanted to mention. I don't have any particular opinion about it. I just thought that was a wild way to think about doing fishing. All right, time for future news, a very short future news here on a Monday. Is Dr. Deanna Olesky going to win this defamation lawsuit, do you think?
Yes.
I think she will. They've denied the charges, by the way. They've denied the allegations, but I do think she's going to win. I think it's going to be a big, big number in the end. Dawn Molinaro, the city clerk in Milton, tonight they're going to have a big discussion about her job. Do you think anybody moves to terminate her?
I think maybe.
I, I would anticipate that possibility. I don't have any idea what the council is going to do in this session, but it's apparently a majority of council has called.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.